Welcome to Ultimate Sports Parent Radio, where we help parents and coaches instill confidence and ensure success in young athletes.
This is Lisa Cohn. Today I'm here with Dr. Bob Trautwine, an industrial psychologist and founder of Trautwine & Associates. He provides psychological profiles of players and draft picks for NFL teams, and he's going to give us some confidence-building tips. I'm also here with my brother, Dr. Patrick Cohn, a mental game expert.
Get our new program, The Ultimate Sports Parent, a 14-day plan for kids' success in sports, by visiting the product section of youthsportspsychology.com. You'll learn how much pressure is too much, what to do when kids underperform, how to react to kids' losses, how to deal with difficult coaches, little playing time, and more. Visit youthsportspsychology.com, and while you're there, pick up our free ebook.
Hi, Patrick. Hi, Bob.
Hello.
Hi, Lisa.
Bob, can you tell us a little bit about what you do?
Yes. At the professional level, it's very similar to pre-employment screening that I do for my corporate clients. And the idea is to find applicants or candidates, of course, in the sports arena, that we're talking about the NFL and Major League Baseball drafts, and determine, you know, best fit for the organization. And specifically, we're looking for intangibles such as competitiveness and desire, how they handle pressure. And then at the college level, I work with programs, and basically a similar idea to use assessments to help with recruiting. But in both of those applications, we also use the results to develop players. So pretty much my function is player selection and development. At the high school and youth level, my programs are more comprehensive, where I develop kind of management guides, if you will, for athletic directors.
Okay, so you wear a lot of hats.
Yeah.
Now, can you talk a little bit about the relationship in sports between confidence and success?
Well, of course, they're intertwined and very closely related. The more successful one is, usually their confidence is higher, and of course, the more confident a player is, typically they will perform better, and so you hardly can really separate them.
Mm-hmm. So obviously it's critical.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you talk about the need for players to have what you call a highlight reel in their head. Can you tell me what this would look and feel like to a player?
Well, yes, it's very similar to, you know, the highlight reels that athletes and their parents put together. For instance, if they're trying to get a college scholarship and that sort of thing. But you have mental images or recordings, if you will, of your best performances, your best plays or matches, games, and where you were really on top of your, you know, brought your A game and that kind of thing, and that you should reflect on those. And most players with practice, as they reflect on those become very sharp images. So, you know, there's a vivid visual image, often, you know, kinetic sensations. You know, what did it feel like as you stole home, or, you know, whatever. And so,
now, do you help players identify their best highlight reel?
Well, usually you don't have to do that, because the players can almost instinctively recite their best plays, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's not a lot of need to help them identify. They already know.
And I
also know, Bob, that they're used extensively, that this technology is used extensively with professional hockey teams, in that they, for a goalie, for example, they might have that highlight reel, and then they put some real powerful music to it as well. So you couple the images with, you know, some favorite music of the player, or some real uplifting music. Do you know any research along those lines about coupling the highlight reel, having an actual video with music attached to it?
Right. That's a because I think what the music does is actually sort of evoke, if you will, an emotional kind of sentiment, you know, of so confidence is not just mental, but almost a great warm feeling, you know, something like that. So I think that's where the music comes in as very helpful.
Oh, so I didn't realize that you actually create a reel in some cases. I thought you meant a mental image in your head of your best performance.
Well, I think usually, yes, it's just mental, something that the player continue, you know, it's mental practice, imagery, visualization, whatever you want to call it. But I think this example with hockey, you can actually create, you know, a DVD type of reel, especially if an athlete were not particularly good at visual imagery. You know, that might be a good thing. And, of course, you know, there's even research, well, should it be in slow motion or should it be at real time, you know, full speed, and the results are not clear. You know, it seems to be all of the above, you know.
What I find, Bob, is the younger athletes don't really, sometimes don't have control over that highlight reel in their heads, as you're talking about. One of my young golfer students that I was working with, I asked her if she was seeing, you know, good shots in her head before she hit them. And she said, no, I stopped doing that. And I said, well, why'd you stop doing that? And she said, well, all I would do is see a bad shot.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, Lisa, to your question, the issue with having something that's more of a guided imagery can be powerful for athletes. We do a lot of guided imagery programs for athletes, taking them through that from an audio perspective. So, you know, people that are visual, having something that you could actually guide them through so that they could recall that, I think would be more powerful.
I do too, because you're exactly right. The last thing you want someone doing is mentally rehearsing bad plays, bad shots, and that sort of thing. And because, number one, they're practicing the wrong thing, and we know it decreases confidence because the self-doubt creeps in. And then I think you have a third variable working against you, and you're distracted, you know. So I'm not sure which is the chicken and the egg, but you definitely don't want that to happen.
Huh. Well, that's really interesting. And you think you can apply all this to younger kids too?
Yes. I don't know what the research says the lower limits of visualization capability are. I would think it would be after, you know, they get through the concrete operational stage, so, you know, after 8-9 years of age at the earliest.
Right. Yeah, it seems like at least after that. Now, there was something else that you mentioned that I thought was really interesting, and you talk about the need for players to have what you call efficacy, the feeling that they can and will do this. How do you develop this?
Well, I mean, at the pro level, to be frank, we are in such a hurry to get these players on the field. It's back to the player selection. We're looking for players that already have that developed. And so the answer or the question is, when and how did they develop that? And I think that's through years of experience at an earlier age. You know, it takes a lot of work. It's a slow building process, but the highlight reel can help in that way too. Look, you've done it before, you can do it again, that type of thing. And then I think somebody, again, working with the players, you know, and if they do encounter a disappointment, why did this happen? You know, you can get into attributions for success and failure. And younger athletes often can benefit from attributional guidance.
Now, and you also talk about the need to have efficacy, I believe, as a team.
Right. You know, that we can do it in an individual sport. Let's say, like high diving, you know, you want the athlete to, as they're on the board, to say, yes, I can pull this dive off. In a team setting, obviously, it's, you know, we can stage a comeback, you know, like Boise State, let's say. That game, you know, if you watch it, and I got to talk to a lot of the players who, you know, came up for the draft, and it was really interesting to hear them talk about. We believed in each other, and that we weren't worried about the score, you know.
Neither of you talk about how you develop that belief in each other. Does it come mostly from experience?
Well, we know that, absolutely comes from practice and success, as Bob had talked about. I mean, the athletes that I speak to, it's all about their practice routines and it's all about their past success. But I think there are some things we can do to, you know, improve confidence. When working with my students, I want to look at, number one, are they undermining confidence in any way? And let's remove some of those barriers. Do they have doubt? Do they have very high expectations? Do they limit themselves with so-called, what I call beliefs, limiting beliefs? So you have to look generally at how they may be undermining their own confidence. And then the second part of that is, how can you get them to contribute to that confidence then? Or what I call take confidence to the start of the game, or take confidence to the first tee. So it does depend a lot upon past success and practice, but I think there are some things that young athletes can do to enhance their confidence.
Right. And I was also asking that question in terms of the team, because, I mean, I know that one of the things we talk about in our workbook is the need to trust. And I think Bob was talking a little bit about the need to trust in your teammates if you're playing on a team.
Exactly, yes. You know, the trust is, I think, the core issue in this sense that we can do it. I trust the player next to me, and faith, you know, maybe would be another good word, you know, that I have faith in not only in my own ability to make this happen, but in our ability. And it's kind of a level above self, you know, where you're part of a bigger, organism or unit, you know, and we're all working together, and we've done it before. And I think, obviously, the coach plays a big role in that, in team sports.
Right, and encouraging teams to work together and encouraging people to trust each other. Obviously, they do. Well, Bob, this has been really interesting. Oh, were you about to say something?
Well, just one of the things at the high school level that I tell coaches is, you know, there's really five roles on a team, and it builds that trust and that sense of belonging, you know. And of course, there's the star, the person that scores the most, you know, and the most able athlete. And then there's the support role, and we go down, and even at the affiliate level, which is like a team trainer, statistician, you know, we talk about how to, you know, clearly identify that role and show appreciation for it. So even if I'm literally the water boy, you know, I feel a part of something bigger. And that does a tremendous amount of building trust, faith, team spirit, whatever you want to call it.
So what you're saying is everybody should play a role and be appreciated for it.
Yes.
Yes, that's great. Well, I think we could go on and on, and I think what we really need to do is have you back if you ever have time. This has been really interesting, and I thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me, and best of luck to all the athletes and parents out there.
Okay, thank you, Robert. Thank you, Lisa.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye.
Be sure to visit youthsportspsychology.com to get our new workbook CD program, The Ultimate Sports Parent. You can also pick up our free ebook, 10 Tips to Improve Confidence and Success in Young Athletes. That's youthsportspsychology.com.